Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. There's a study that was just published that makes me feel very good. Very, very good. This is a study that took a look at Texas in the last election, November 3rd. Texas is a very big state, one of the biggest in the country. It's a very diverse state. Republican, but increasingly Democratic. Beto O'Rourke got something like 48% of the vote when he ran for Senate. And in the study, it showed something very surprising. It assumed that Republicans would start to outlaw mail-in voting, restrict it initially, make it more difficult, which is what they're doing down in Georgia and elsewhere. And in Wisconsin, they're trying to do it. Evers will veto it. And the thought was, how do we prove how bad an impact it would be on Democrats if mail-in voting was outlawed? And it turned out that it has virtually no impact at all. I'm still very strong on mail-in voting, but here is the data. And the reason they picked Texas is because it has a strange law. It has many strange laws, but this is a real strange law. If you are 65 or older in Texas, you can get a mail-in ballot, no excuse. If you're 64 or younger, you can't. You have to jump through a lot of hoops, have to be basically flat in bed, can't walk, and doctor's excuse in the whole nine yards, which is what they're trying to do in a lot of other states. So they took a look at people 65 and older and 64 and younger. And they found that the ability to mail in vote was a very small factor in how people voted. The overwhelming factor was intensity of like or dislike for the candidate. And so many people either hated Trump or loved Trump that they would walk through fire to vote. And I'm saying that figuratively. Obviously, you can put some impediments that will stop people. But what it showed is that adjusting it, that if there had not been mail-in voting for the people 65 and older, and they polled, people, the same number of people would have voted anyway. Now, it's very important to push through HR 1 and SB 1. Voting reform and federal elections, which will then ultimately be taken up by the states and the ones that don't, a good Supreme Court at some point under the due process clause of the 14th Amendment will simply make them do it. But that's way in the future, way in the future. We keep fighting for it. But the good news, in my judgment, is that for the states that try to squash mail-in voting, and the laboratory for it was Texas, because they did it for people 64 and under and didn't for 65 and older, will show that it makes a negligible difference. Now, does that hold up culturally in other states? I don't know. That's why we're going to fight for it. Fight for mail-in voting. But remember something. If the Republicans manage to bar mail-in voting, no excuse mail-in voting. You have to get a doctor to sign an affidavit, like Trump's doctor, the guy with the gray wig. I personally think it was Steve Bannon in a gray wig saying he was a doctor. Comes up in a limousine, sticks his hand out of a tinted window, and his medical report is Donald Trump is healthier than George Washington. That was basically it. You'd have to hire a guy like that. He'll say, I'll do it for $500. No? Okay, $100. You think people are going to vote? Give him $100 to get an affidavit? To get a mail-in ballot? No, they're not. No, they are not, and they shouldn't have to. So if the Republicans ever push it through, the fallback from the research seems to be that they may be in for a big surprise, but we're not going to let them push it through. Fight for HR1, fight for SB1, fight for the veto here of whatever skullduggery Voss is up to and keep the polls open. Speaking of skullduggery and speaking of good news, there was a break in Joe Manchin's opposition to get rid of the filibuster. As you know, Joe Manchin has said, I will never vote to get rid of the filibuster, and we only have 50 votes, and Kamala Harris doesn't get to vote unless we get to the 50, and if Manchin doesn't vote for something, she doesn't come into the picture. The funny thing is, filibuster used to require 67 votes to bust it 50 years ago. Then they changed it to only 60. But the real funny thing is, a simple majority can get rid of the filibuster. So 51 votes can still get rid of the requirement to go to 60. Manchin won't go along. Manchin won't go along. But the other day, Jim Clyburn and others started to say they are going to hold up voting reform by filibustering. And Manchin said, I can agree to make filibuster more difficult for the minority. Right now, the minority just has to say, we filibuster. You need 60 votes. Then they will go off on vacation. They don't even show up. And you're dead. In the 60s, when they filibustered civil rights legislation, the Southerners, they had to be there physically all night, and they had to keep talking. So they'd read the Bible. They'd read Shakespeare. They'd read all this stuff. They would do it. They would read it all. And then they got tired after a while. So what Manchin, I think, would agree is that they have to be there physically. Cruz wants to filibuster. If Moscow Mitch wants to, he has to get up there and look like an idiot. Now we have television. They're going to look at this and they're going to go, what kind of weirdos are these? What kind of weirdos are these? And by the simple charge, and that can be done by majority rule. And the simple fact of doing that will really cut down on the number of filibusters and may help SB1 voting reform go through. We're going to the lines. Bill of Economwalk, my friend. By the way, you're this third caller, Bill. You won a T-shirt. So give Luke your address, and good to hear from you. What's on your mind today, Bill?
Matt, this is the third time that happened. You can pass that on. Right. I got a T-shirt the first time. So I'd be up to three T-shirts. I wouldn't need any other underwear. I'd have all I need. But anyhow, on the vote and voter obstruction and all that, we can count on the Republicans in the next 4 years to fight voter obstruction. And when they lose, what do? They mount a terrorist attack, attack Capitol Hill, and murder people when they don't get their way.
That's eloquently put, by the way.
You know, this is how they function. And all my friends, well, and I say this loosely, friends who are Republicans, when I talked to them, I said, what's the latest bill you guys came up? How are you promoting voting? What's the latest health care plan? Tell me your plans. They have no plans. Obstruction, investigation, and division. That's all they know. And remember, if they don't get their way in the vote, we all know what happens. Take a look at January 6th. Thanks for giving me a moment to speak my piece, and have a great day.
Thanks, Bill. And I'll tell you what, eloquent as always, you have put it and nailed it as well as anybody. Division, obstruction, and then they're guys that show up with baseball bats and, frankly, guns in their pockets. That is what the Republicans have done, and that doesn't give me any pleasure to say it, because a long time ago I worked with and knew a lot of Republicans who are honest people, and voters are. The voters certainly are, but some of this leadership, Cruz and the rest of them, Hawley, the rest of them, they are truly bad news. Thanks for calling in, Bill. I agree with you 100%. Going back to the lines, Mark from the SAC, my friend, and you just won a shirt passed on by Bill of Economwalk. So give your address. You give your address to Luke. What's on your mind today, Mark from the SAC?
Well, I'll have to pass on the T-shirt as well, because I have one. On the filibuster, I mean, yes, make them talk. I mean, and they don't get, and the guy that's talking has got to keep talking. He doesn't get to leave. No potty breaks, nothing like that. You're going to do this stuff. You're going to put on diapers, and you don't get to leave the room if you're filibustering. Just make them suck it up. I mean, if they want to do that, they can do that. And as far as the obstruction for voting, I mean, that's what Republicans want to do now. I mean, they're the old Jim Crow South. You know, what used to be the Democratic Party, they want to keep people from voting. I mean, they might as well put on the white hoods and cut the lie holes out for them, because that's what the policy was back for the Jim Crow South. I mean, that they're, you know, that, and I hate to say it, because there used to be honest Republicans that, you know, Tommy Thompson, you know, tutelaged a lot of these young bucks that here in Wisconsin, that, you know, Scott Walker and Robin Voss, and, you know, they all came up under his tutelage, and they went further than he did. I mean, and that they all worship Ronald Reagan. Well, Ronald Reagan's economic policies have been rejected by David Stockman, the guy that wrote them. He says it doesn't work. He says, you know, David Stockman is out there today saying, well, it doesn't work, you know, trickle-down doesn't work. Well, he said it worked back then, and these Republicans drank that Kool-Aid back then. They still refuse to admit the fact that, you know, the trickle-down doesn't work. I mean, and maybe they just don't care. I mean, that's maybe the hung on the short of it. They simply do not care. And that if people suffer and people die, they don't care anymore. And I hate to say that of fellow human beings, but I think they simply do not care about their fellow human beings. Not that all Democrats do, but I mean, I think that the Republican Party, by and large, has become we don't care about anybody but ourselves and our donor class, and they give lip service to their voters, but their voters think that that's, you know, the Republicans are looking out for their interests, but the Republicans are not.
Right. You know, I exempt the voters from that simply because they're Americans who get hoodwinked. And there are some good, I think Mitt Romney has stood up and Liz Cheney, but by and large, I agree with you. I'm thinking of guys like Moscow Mitch, and I'm thinking of guys like, you know, Cruz and Hawley, and these kinds of people have betrayed the country, and they betrayed their voters. Thanks a lot, Mark, for calling in. And I want to build on that briefly, and then the lines are lighting up. We're going to be going to a break. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. But just to say this is that I think Mark and then Bill of Oconomowoc hit it real well. It's division, obstruction, investigation, and then violence. That's all they stand for. That's the leadership. Not all the leadership. And by the way, I think Tommy Thompson was not that way at all. And frankly, Ronald Reagan sat down with Tip O'Neill and they saved Medicare. This is all different right now. It's all QAnon. Got to be very careful. We're going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. You're on the line. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break.